If you have your lesson, you know that last week in our introduction, we said that we're going to look at, over these next 3 weeks, we're going to look at the poor, then the prosperous, then the proper attitude toward both. Okay, we looked at Roman numeral number 1, the exaltation, and God commanding those that are poor to rejoice in that He exalts them to a position of prominence. And we talked about how there are many paradoxes in the Word of God, and that is certainly one of them. What do you mean, Pastor, the poor are to rejoice? The poor are always seem to be on the lower end of things and put down. And we looked at some puzzling paradoxes in the Scriptures. We looked at prudence through providence, and how Jesus told His disciples not to prepare as they went out. They were to just go, and He would give them the words to say and not to worry about it. Then we looked at rest through labor. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then He tells us to take His yoke upon Him. Take my yoke upon you. He says, that doesn't sound very restful. What's a yoke? I'll tell you what, the yoke of Christ is restful. Resting in Him. It's a paradox, amen? We talked about finding through losing, that if any man will lose his life for my sake, he shall find it. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Amen? It's a paradox. We talked about getting through giving. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Amen. We talked about strength through weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. We talked about living through dying. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Amen. Crucified with Christ. And we talked about freedom through slavery, becoming a servant for Jesus Christ. And that's where liberty really is, in serving. Amen. The words on your lesson there, bottom of page 1, the words of low degree are certainly that of man's estimation. We find a similar phrase used by Mary in the Magnificat, her praise after she was told she was going to have a baby boy and he was to be the Son of God. Amen. Thankfully, the ground is level at Calvary. Aren't you glad that nobody is too poor to be saved? Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Nobody's too poor. And Isaiah 55:1 says, oh, everybody that thirsts, and him that hath no money, let him come and drink. Amen. Praise the Lord for that fountain of water of salvation. Because as believers in Christ, and we have another note here, why is it easier to rejoice when you have money on you? This is where we closed last week. If you've got $100 in your pocket, you are generally a happier person. Okay? Now, please don't look at me like you've never thought that. Amen? Now, you say, Pastor, no worries tonight. I don't have $100. I don't have 2 nickels to rub together. Amen? It just seems like when we've got a few extra dollars in our pocket that we're happier, we rejoice more. Why is that? We have a note here. Because as believers in Christ, we have a tendency to allow ourselves to be influenced by our circumstances, rather than to consider the riches we have in Christ. It's a natural thing. The disciples did it. The disciples were the ones that said there in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, Jesus sent them out. He said, listen, I give you power over the devils. You can raise the dead, all these things. And they came back and they said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us. And Jesus looked at him and he said, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You know what, folks? If you don't have a penny, you have no idea how you're going to pay the next bill, and you're a believer, you're still on your way to heaven. Amen. Nothing can change that. Nothing, and eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. This life that we're on, some of you are in 50 and 60 and 70 and over 80 years, it's just a span in eternity. It's like a grain of sand Billy Sunday said, what's eternity like? Somebody asked him one time. And Billy Sunday said, this is the only way I could ever explain eternity. He said, just imagine if you've ever been to the ocean. Carrie and I grew up on the East Coast, love the ocean. Love the therapy of the ocean. I believe God gives it to us. He said, just imagine a bird would come and pluck a grain of sand and fly all the way to the other side of the world and drop it. And do that with every beach on planet Earth. When he took away every last grain of sand and put it on the other side of the earth, it'd just be morning time in glory. We're on our way to heaven, folks. Never forget that. Amen. Page 2 on your outline. We had, first of all, the exaltation in verse 9. Verse 10, look at verse 10 with me there. It says, verse 9 says, but let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. So there's rejoicing here in verse 9, but then it says, but the rich. So the rich is to rejoice too. Okay? The poor is to rejoice in that he's exalted. The rich is to rejoice in that he is made low. So we see Roman numeral number 1, the exaltation. Roman numeral number 2, we see the deflation. The deflation. You ever heard the term? Who popped your bubble? That's what God's doing here. Amen. He's popping that rich bubble. Just as God commands those that are poor, on your outline, those that are poor to rejoice in that he exalts them to a position of prominence. Just as God commands those that are poor to rejoice in that he exalts them to a position of prominence, he continues his command to the rich to rejoice in that they are made low. Say that again. Just as God commands those that are poor to rejoice in that he exalts them to a position of prominence, he continues his command to the rich to rejoice that they are made low. Number one, let's look if we could, and we'll look at these scriptures. I think it's important to look up each one. Some common misconceptions regarding riches. Some common misconceptions. The first one is found in 1 Timothy 6:10. Let's go there. Just hang a left there at Hebrews, and you'll go through past Philemon, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. The first misconception, A, is that money is evil. Money is evil. Perhaps the most misquoted verse in the Bible is 1 Timothy 6:10. Look at it with me if you would, church. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:10. It does not say that money is evil. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. So next line there. For the love of money is the root of all. We just proved with a deacon fund offering that will go to be a blessing to somebody in our church that money is not evil. You know, a computer is not evil. It's inanimate. A piano is not evil. It's inanimate. It is based upon the person behind it. It's based on the person with the money, what they do with the money. So a common misconception is that money is evil. Money is not evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. B, God is against you having wealth. This is a misconception. God is against you having wealth. Go all the way back in the Old Testament to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter number 8. Last book of the Pentateuch. Deuteronomy, chapter number 8. Okay, again, a misconception. A, money is evil. A misconception. B, God is against you having wealth. Okay? You say, boy, Pastor, it sure seems that way. Amen. I've never had any. Amen. Well, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. Look at it with me, please. It says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get," what? Wealth. "That He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be that if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish." Now listen, how can God be against money if it's He that gives you the power to get it? Amen? Of course He's not against money. This is contradicted, on your outline here, this is contradicted by the lives of Job, Abraham, and I know I didn't give you much room to write that one down, and Jacob. All very wealthy men. And the Bible says Job was a perfect man, mature man. Not perfect like we say sinless. Listen, these are misconceptions, common misconceptions regarding riches. Money is evil, God is against you having wealth. Both of those are false, and all God's people said. Okay, let me finish up with these tonight. I'll throw them at you quick. Cautious considerations regarding riches. You're there in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at verses 13 and 14. Cautious considerations regarding riches. You say, "Well, God wants me to have money, so praise the Lord, I can't wait. Pour it on, God." Well, He's got a few considerations here for us to look at. Okay, verses 13 and 14 of Deuteronomy, it says, "And when thy herds and thy flocks shall multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and the house." God cautions us against forgetfulness, first of all, regarding riches. Can I say it this way, folks? And I'll talk about it on Sunday. Don't forget who gave it to you. Amen. Oh, I worked hard. Not without the brain that God gave you. Amen. Not without the body that God gave you. Amen. God's the one who gives it all. All He asks for is the tithe and an offering beyond that, if you're willing. Amen. But forgetfulness. Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Some cautious considerations regarding riches. Book of Proverbs. I tell you, I'm still working in this new Bible here. So I'm a little slow on the draw here. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 5. It says, in verse 4, it says, "Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." How many of you realize that? Say, money speaks to me all the time. You know what it normally says? Goodbye. That's what it says. Amen. Next line there, B, not only forgetfulness, but another cautious consideration is disappointments. Disappointments. I remember when the movie came out, the children's movie called Up. Anybody ever seen Up, the little children's movie? Cute little movie, my kids like it. And there was this couple, they were married and they were saving to go on a big vacation. And every time, they would put all their coins in a jar and it would stack up. And then the roof would start leaking. The car would break down and they'd take a hammer and they'd break the jar. Hey, that happens. Amen. That happens. Amen. Disappointments is a cautious consideration. Money flies away. Amen. So disappointments, forgetfulness. Luke chapter 4 verse 19. Back to the New Testament. Luke chapter 4 verse 19. Luke 4 in verse 19, here you have the parable of the sower and the soils. Luke chapter 4, verse 19. Here's something we certainly often see. Oh, I'm sorry, that should not be Luke. That should be Mark. Forgive me. That should be Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Mark chapter 4, and verse 19. Yep, there it is. Amen. Mark 4, 19. talking about the thorny soil, that seed is good, but it goes into soil with thorns. And verse 18 says, "These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." Another cautious consideration regarding wealth is misplaced priorities. That's the one that gets most people regarding finances, regarding riches. The Bible says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." Proverbs 3:9. What happens when people get money? They misplace their priorities. They start getting this, 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 and they forget about this. They forget about seek ye first the kingdom of God. They forget about give and it shall be given. It has a tendency to misplace our priorities. We think we're something because we have money. But come on now. And we're not. Amen. Okay, here's another one. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. We were just there. Go back there. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. And we'll look at these last two and then we'll stop tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." D, what are some cautious considerations regarding riches? Forgetfulness, disappointments, misplaced priorities, error, and many sorrows. It used to amaze me. It doesn't anymore. And again, folks, please understand, as a pastor, I am against gambling in all forms. I hate the lottery. I hate it. If you want to know how I feel, let me just tell you how. I hate the lottery. And so does God. Unjust gain is what he calls it. Amen. People that win that on somebody else's blood. Come on now. Help me, church. Amen. It used to amaze me. It doesn't anymore. It seems like these people that win $320 kajillion, 6 years later, they're broke. They're broke. You know why? Because the Bible's still true. Because the Bible says that they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through. That's why, listen, don't covet after money. Give us this day our daily bread. God will take care of you every day. Amen. And so, error and many sorrows. And then the last one here, you see it just seven verses down. 1 Timothy 6:17. It says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Pride. 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 And, of course, we have the parable there. You can read it on your own time in Luke chapter 12 about the man who had to build bigger barns. And you know what he was lifted up with? Pride. I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this. That happens to many a rich man. Listen, God's not against you having wealth and using it for the Lord. Thank God for people like J.C. Penney. Now, I don't mean the company today. That's endorsing sodomitic marriage and all. I'm talking about the original J.C. Penney, who gave almost 90% of his income to God. I'm talking about people like Colgate. Colgate, Christian man, gave his money to missionaries and to his church. Amen. These are people that weren't lifted up with pride. They knew what God had given it to them for a great purpose. Amen. So we'll pick up here next week under pride. Amen. We don't have time to cover that tonight. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, that you give us these estimations of the poor and of the rich.